In John chapter 9, there's many of you will have heard this story. The setting is that Jesus is traveling along, and he and his disciples come across a man who is sitting there, and he's described as having been born blind. Blind from birth. And what's interesting to observe, first of all, is people's response to the fact that this person was born in difficult circumstances. First of all, the societal response was that he was considered unclean. He wasn't healthy, he wasn't whole, he was kept on the fringes of their society and forced to beg. That's why he's out in the street. The disciples, as they walk along, they see him and they decide, hey, this is a great chance to ask Jesus a really important theological question. They see him, and their question in verse 2 is, why was this man born blind? Actually, it's only half of their question. Why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or because of his parents? Interesting question. Why was he born blind? Was it because of his own sin? Or was it that of his parents? But the presumption is somebody has messed up against you, and so God has done this to this person because of sin. That was the popular common understanding of, well, if someone has a problem, if someone has an issue, if someone has something going on in their life, well, it's obviously their fault or someone else or like someone they're related to. This is a consequence of something. That was the question. That was society's response. That's the disciples' response. No, the disciples go past the general question of, well, it's somebody's fault to like, we want to know who. We want to solve this. And Jesus, you're the rabbi, you're the teacher. Surely you can help us solve this. Then we get to Jesus' response. Says it was not because of his sin or his parents' sin. This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. We must quickly carry out our task assigned to us by the one who sent us. The night is coming, then no one can work. But while I'm here in the world, I am the light of the world. It's not because of sin, it's not because of his sin, it's not because of his parents' sin, it's not because of a specific sin that this man is here. It's so that the power of God could be seen in him. And then Jesus proceeds to say, I am the light of the world, and so I need to act this way. And he acts this way by showing compassion to the man. Kind of in an odd way, admittedly. He spits in the ground, makes mud, and sticks it on his face. I don't recommend you showing love to people by doing that. But this is what Jesus does, and then sends the man to go wash and be healed. He doesn't get into a big theological conversation. He corrects a theological error and then says it's so that the work of God could be seen in him, and then proceeds to act by showing care and compassion to him. He puts God's love and care on display for this man. The man goes. He washes, he can see again, and he comes back, and Jesus has moved on. Jesus is gone, but all the rest of the people are there, and they're like, wait, isn't that the guy who, like, not that, like, moments ago was here blind? The guy who's been here, like, every day since he was born almost? Like, the guy who was born blind, and they start having a fight over it, saying, well, no, it must be somebody who just looks like him. And others are like, no, that's definitely him. And eventually he's like, yeah, that's me. I'm the one. I love it. It says, but the beggar kept saying, yes, I am the same one. Like, he's got to convince them that he's the guy. Like, and so then you get the response to this act of love. The people wonder, and then once they're convinced, they embrace it. They want to know what happened. He doesn't have an answer. But once they figure out, okay, yes, he's been healed. He's not unclean anymore. And so it says they take him to the Pharisees, they take him to the religious leaders. I suspect they take him to the religious leaders because he's got to work through a process so he can get reintegrated into society. But they're ready to embrace him. The Pharisees have to do their investigation, though. They have to make sure that he's actually clean. So they ask him what happened. And all they can focus on initially is that Jesus did this on the Sabbath. Jesus shows up, he sees this thing, and the disciples, they want to talk about like the origins of the problem. And Jesus says, no, we got to show love. And he heals the man. In response to the act of showing love, the Pharisees are like, oh, but wait, that love was shown in a bad way on the Sabbath. And now there are some among them that are like, yeah, but it must have been God because he healed them. Yes, but it couldn't have been God because it was the Sabbath. And they drop into, again, a theological debate when the work of God's love is sitting right in front of them. Verse 14, the Jewish leader still refused to believe the man had been blind and could now see. They didn't want to believe it, despite the evidence before them. So they call his parents in. And they ask the parents. And the parents are like, hey, we know this is our son. We know he was born blind. We don't know how. We don't know what happens. Ask him. And what's interesting is the text tells us it's because they're afraid of the judgment they're going to get from the religious people. The Pharisees don't want to embrace it because it didn't happen in the right way. The parents are afraid to embrace it because of the judgment that they're worried that they're going to receive. The only one that's really, truly embracing it is this man. And so the parents just say, ask him. So the religious leaders call him in again in verse 24. It says, God should get the glory for this because we know this man Jesus is a sinner. And so they're trying to dismiss whatever happened because obviously Jesus is wrong because he did something on the Sabbath. And just for pure entertainment value, like the rest of this interaction is really, really fun. The man says, I don't know whether the man's a sinner, but I know this. I was blind and now I can see. But what did he do to you? How did he heal you? Look, the man exclaimed, I told you once. Didn't you listen? Then he comes with this. Do you want to hear it again? Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Then they curse him. You are his disciple, but we're disciples of Moses. They're holding Jesus up against Moses, thinking Moses wins. We know God spoke to Moses, but we don't even know where this man comes from. Why, that's very strange, the man replied. He healed my eyes, and yet you don't know where he comes from? We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but he's ready to hear those who worship him and do his will. Ever since the world began, no one has been able to open the eyes of someone born blind. If this man were not from God, he couldn't have done it. This is the guy who spent his whole life on the outside, who makes the truest theological statement of the bunch. He's here with all these religious leaders that are like, look, this could only happen if God's in it. And so God must be in it. And they just lose it. You were born a total sinner, they answered. Are you trying to teach us? And they threw him out of the synagogue. This guy who, for the first time in his life, Jesus has acted with love, and he should be ready for full participation in the life of things. Because it didn't happen in the right way. Because it happened through this one that they didn't consider the right one, he gets cast aside again. When Jesus heard what had happened, he found the man and asked, "Do you believe in the Son of God or in the Son of Man?" The man answered, "Who is he? I'd love to believe in him. I want to believe in him." And Jesus says, "You've seen him, and he's speaking to you." And at that, she says, "Yes, Lord, I believe." And he worshiped Jesus. You get these different responses. The religious leaders don't see God's act of love because they're too focused on the law. The parents don't acknowledge it because they're afraid. Only this man receives it as a gift, and then he's forced to the decision. Am I going to receive it and change how I understand the world as a result? Because the others refuse to change how they're going to see the world. He does. He reshapes his worldview in light of it. That just leads to further judgment from the religious leaders. But ironically, I think most profoundly, if the religious leaders had just accepted him and welcomed him, he never would have ended up back at the feet of Jesus. Actually, being pushed away from by the religious leaders actually is what drew him into worship of Jesus as a result. Jesus, at the end of this story, in conversation with the man, uses this whole exchange as a metaphor for us to think about. Jesus told him, "I entered this world to render judgment, to give sight to the blind, and to show those who think that they see that they're blind." Some Pharisees were standing nearby. They heard him and asked, "Are you saying we're blind?" He says, "If you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty. But you remain guilty because you claim you see." They claim they saw everything clearly, but they're actually missing out on the work that God is doing. As we read this story, it's tempting to see ourselves as the one who received the gift from God. It's tempting to maybe sometimes see ourselves as the disciples who just want to be able to have all of the answers. As the religious leaders, well, nobody actually wants to see ourselves as the ones who are shown to be wrong in a story. But it is good for us to ask, when we see someone, who their primary MO is that they need to be loved right now. How do we respond? What questions do we ask about the situation? Do we try and problem solve? Do we try and fit it into our boxes of the law? Or do we act in love? And when God's love breaks into the world, how do we respond? Do we embrace it and celebrate a changed life? Do we react and push back if it doesn't fit into our worldview? Do we try to ignore it because we're afraid of what we'll face if we don't? Or will we receive this and reorient ourselves in light of what God has done, be moved into deeper worship because of it? Ultimately, as we read this, we have to ask, are we willing to open ourselves up to the loving light of Jesus? I do wonder what would have happened at the beginning if he had just been like, "What just happened? I just got spit and dirt put on my face," and just like kind of wiped it off and went back to begging. He didn't have to be healed ultimately. Will you be open to God doing the work of healing in your life, or in the lives of those around you? Will you be open to embracing God's love even when it doesn't fit within our paradigms because it's something that only God could do? It's tempting to get lost in the questions. It's tempting to get lost in trying to force everything into our boxes and miss out on what God is actually doing among us. Just some stuff for us to think about in John 9 today. I'm going to pray, and then the team is going to come back up and lead us in one more song before we kind of do closing reminders. God, thank you that you are active in this world in ways beyond the boxes that we can think of, beyond our ability to understand and define and answer everything. Thank you that we get to participate in your loving, saving work. God, when you come to us, inviting us into healing, help us to be open to it. When you do your work in the world in ways that confound us and confuse us or even frustrate us, God, help us to let go of our questions enough that we can actually embrace the work you're doing in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.